Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Game Changers on 101.5 UMFM.
On the radio.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Alice.
And we collect video games.
Oh, no. Yeah? Oh, yeah, no, it's, I guess so. I do like to have physical copies of things if I can.
We talk about video games.
No.
No, we don't.
No, we just have physical items that you can't see because this is a non-physical media, but, you know.
And sometimes we play video games.
Yeah.
And sometimes we go back to visit old classics because I wanted to play
Okami. Because you wanted to.
You know, it's been at least a couple years since I played it, so... And I finally beat it.
Yeah. Okay, but you've never beat it before?
I beat it on the Wii, yeah. When it came out on the Wii in 2008.
Yeah.
And we have the HD remake for the PlayStation 4. Mm-hmm. It's also on the Switch. I highly recommend it on both.
Yeah.
So I'm going to consider this Okami Revisited.
Sure.
Sure. Thank you.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you have something else to talk about other than Okami, a game that's been out for how many years now?
Since 2006.
Okay, more than a decade?
15 years. Okay, so Okami is developed by Clover Studio and published by Capcom. It was originally for the PlayStation 2.
I've played it for the PlayStation 2. I played that game several times and beat it several times.
And it is still considered one of the best video games and demonstrably a video game as art.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. They purposefully... I feel that people at least visually know of Okami, right? Because basically, White Wolf, red markings... And most of Okami, like, initially they were going to do a realistic version, because when I was, like, back in the day before this came out, I definitely had, like, I don't know, a PlayStation game, one of those Game Informer?
Yeah.
And I saw, I probably still have it, but there were cutscenes or clips that showed, like, a realistic wolf. Right? Because that was initially the plan for Okami was realism, which is interesting.
Which is very cool. It's one of the skins that you get in the new game plus, so you can see what it was supposed to look, what Okami was supposed to look like.
To be honest, for PlayStation 2, it looks fabulous. Like, at the time that, and once again, all the things that they've added or that are in the HD collection were in the original Okami. And Okami is a neat game because it was a game that I remember as I was playing it. At certain points, I was like, okay, it's ending now. Hey, it's ending now. But it consistently surprised me that it went on, right? And there was so much to do as well. Like, it was a very beefy game in terms of even, like, collecting different things. Like, obviously, there's, like, the stray beads. There's, you can upgrade basically all of your attacks.
It's got so, so much content in it. So... The art style is a woodcut watercolor cell shading in a sumi-e ink wash painting style, which is a traditional Japanese art style.
Yeah, no, it's based on, like, ukiyo-e, which is, like, the floating world kind of style, which, yeah. Like, I think that was a really good choice, because I don't think Okami would have been as successful without the visual style.
Yeah, so it brings it down to a more cartoony style, but...
Artistic?
Yeah. So you can do a lot more with it.
Yeah. Well, obviously, and then there's the mechanic in Okami. Basically, you run around as a wolf, you attack things, but you also have, like, they're called brush techniques that you're given by the animals of the Chinese zodiac.
Right.
Right, yeah.
So there's 13 constellations in all.
Yeah.
That you can go and visit, get these brush techniques, and... I just love the animals as well. Like, they all have a very cool, interesting personality that they just show so well. I love going to see animals. I like feeding the animals in this, too, because you have a nice, peaceful moment where you're just feeding a random tiger that's okay with you being around and letting you feed it.
Are you talking about...
I'm not just the constellations. I'm talking about there's other animals throughout the entire world.
Yeah, be specific. Yeah. There's lots of animals in this game.
There are a lot of animals. So this was done by Clover Studios, who were better known, for, or not better known, also known for their Beautiful Joe series.
Yeah, Clover's dead now, though.
Yeah, and the whole thing with Clover being gone is because the top people at Clover weren't happy with Capcom not letting them do new and unique properties.
Yeah.
They were always demanding a sequel or already existing properties to be developed further. But hopefully, because there's rumors of Okami 2.
Is it rumors or... I'm fairly sure it's like...
They're trying to pitch it still.
Oh.
So...
That's bizarre. I think the thing... Well, people probably think... I really don't know why. Because, like, the money is there. Like, and the nostalgia is there at this point. That people who played Okami will want to play another Okami. And people who have played Okami recently, because the HD collection came out, what? 2018, I think?
2018.
So, you know, people will want to play that. Like, it's a relatively fresh game. And it's still a very good game. Like, it holds up being a PlayStation 2 game, right?
Yeah, like, it is still much beefier than a lot of games that we get today. I would say. So, the battle mechanics are a lot of fun as well. Like, you're saying that you can get the brush techniques from the different constellations, but you also have some pretty good arena-style combat as well, where you can fight with a sword, you can fight with a reflector, or you can fight with rosary beads in sort of a whip sort of style.
You can also fight with your brush techniques.
Yeah, you can also fight with the brush techniques. Yeah. There's like a physical and a more magical
aspect. Yeah, of well, it's all magic, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's all magic. You are a dog, well, wolf, magical wolf that has weapons floating on it. Like, and not to say that, like, we haven't ever seen dogs with knives, like, in Metal Gear, that dog had a knife.
And in Dark Souls.
That dog also had a knife. A really, really big knife. It was a wolf, and it was a sword. It wasn't a dog.
Pretty much the only dog that should have had a knife and did not have a knife would be Wolf Link from Twilight Princess.
Yeah, he did it. Yeah, he definitely, he got a little shackle. There you go, Link. Enjoy. You want your sword? No.
That's not how those work.
You see Sif? He gets a sword, not you.
You totally could legitimately fight with a sword, but...
Yeah, you have one. No.
So, the voice acting in this is very interesting, because it is sampling voice actors' work and scrambling them so that you don't really have words, per se. So, it saved a lot in the translation.
At the time, I loved this.
This was genius at 2008.
Well, it hadn't been really done prior to this in a game, and it worked really well. It was pretty smart, right? Like, yeah, you don't have to get voice actors for that. And also, I feel it fit with the style. Now, I hate it. I think I hate it now because I can tell that it's, like, the same three noises repeated. Whereas, I think in my youthfulness, I was like, it's all different gibberish. Like, it's kind of like a squeaky toy.
Yeah.
And once again, at the time, I thought it was fine. Now, I think I hate it. I think that's the part of Okami. if I went back to it, that would be the part that annoyed me the most. Which is too bad. I guess other than the fact, I don't like the character... I think we were sort of talking about how I think the localization of this game is also maybe a little bit of its time.
Yeah, it definitely is of its time.
Like, I think, and I don't know what the original Japanese version is like, but I do feel that they took liberties with it. Like, if, for example, like, back in the day, anime was dubbed where things were like, traditional Japanese foods were said as, like, you know, this is a pizza or a hamburger or a donut, right?
When it's a rice ball or sushi.
Or something. You know, because we Westerners wouldn't be able to understand what this food is, you know. So I feel there is a little bit of that still. Like, not to the extent that they're like, here, Okami, have a donut. But
it's more like giving one of the characters a faux French accent in the writing.
Yeah, which doesn't feel... like, it's necessary? It feels weird, and probably the character had an accent, but or maybe it was, like, he used a different dialect, or that was the intent there.
Yeah.
And so some of it just feels, like, anachronistic, right? What is that world? Yeah, like, it doesn't feel like it fits within the world, right?
Yeah.
It's like if Okami had a wristwatch, right? and looked at her wristwatch and was like, oh, at the time. And that's, like, once again, these are kind of minor complaints because I think ultimately it's a very enjoyable game. The story is kind of whatever because there are so many stories, sort of thing.
Pretty like, much this whole thing was a mishmash of all, a large amount of Japanese folklore and mythology.
Which is really smart, to be honest. Like, it also makes it so you can have a much longer game and sort of almost confined stories, but in the end it is sort of combined, like it is has an overarching plot, right?
So your dialogue proxy and companion is Issen.
Oh yeah, that's where I was getting. I don't like Issen. I think he's terrible, and watching this has made me realize how bad he was.
Yeah, again, that sort of dated characterization. He is based on the story of the one-inch-high samurai, because he is a sprite.
They're called Ponktons.
Punkles.
Punkles. Yeah, which I think is kind of a cute... Ponkton, is that where they live?
That's where they live.
That's where they live, I knew. But I think they're cute because they're kind of like little bug guys, right? They're tiny little bug guys. And Issen, he's fine. I think his, like... As a character or as a vessel for a plot or exposition to talk for the character Ami, Amitsuratu, the dog, Wolf.
Yeah.
Wolf with weapon. I think that's a fine way to do it. I just hate Issen. I just think he is a terrible character. Like, that's it. That's, like, it could have been anybody else, and I probably would have been happy.
Yeah, his personality is perverse. Well, and just sort of...
It's unnecessary in this kind of game. Yeah. Especially since it's like... Yeah. He is technically speaking for Ami at some points, right?
Yeah.
And so you're like, I don't think the dog talks like this. Like, I don't think... And technically, you know, this wolf is like a god. Like, we know this, that it's some kind of godly figure. So it's like, I don't think the dog thinks or talks like this. But okay.
I'm pretty sure the dog isn't flirting with every female character that comes across, but okay.
Yeah, there's just, things that weren't great.
Then we've got Waka, who you don't know if he's a friend or a foe, and he challenges you to a whole bunch of fights while giving you prophecies at the very end of them.
Yeah.
He's based off Ushi Wakamaru, a legendary general who's thought to be taught the sword by a Tengu.
Okay.
So, all these characters have folklore roots.
Sure. I won't reveal, but Waka is not related to Tengus.
Not related, but the folklore was that.
Yeah. I'm just like, okay. Yeah. No, I take bits and it's fine. Waka is also a character I'm not really fond of, and that's probably because he is a little, once again, he's an anachronism, right? Like, he's a little bit, the way he talks.
He's very strange.
Yeah. It's a good game. Yeah. I love Akami. It's good.
And you said you were going to finish off a game for us last week.
What game?
Hades.
Yeah, no, I beat Hades. For real. No, not for real. I don't know if that game has, like, a technical real end. I think I got what would be considered the real end. In Hades, this is a game by Supergiant Games, who also did Pyre, Transistor, and Bastion. Bastion I loved. Transistor was whatever. This is an amazing game. Hades is great. Like, literally, I think most people would like it. I don't like roguelike games, really.
Right.
Like, I kind of find them frustrating, and I don't... I like to have a mental map of places... Hades does something where it makes it so that it doesn't really matter about the mental map you have of an area, because it does follow a similar pattern of certain things. Like, there will be a certain amount of rooms before the next boss, or there'll be a certain amount of rooms before, like, Karen, who is a shopkeeper. And when I say Karen, it's like Charon. That is how his name is spelled. He's like the boat keeper who
takes the ferryman.
Yeah, the ferryman who takes people to Hades town. not
That's
related.
A whole different thing.
Yeah, I was like not associated with this. But yeah, Hades, basically, the story, the basic plot is that you play as Zagreus, who is the son of Hades, and you are trying to get out of Hades land. Tartarus? I don't know.
Hades.
But Hades, I guess. You're trying to get out of there. The reason becomes very evident that your dad has lied about your mom, who your mom was. For those of us in the know about Greek mythology, Hades' wife or whatever is Persephone. And because of how the myth goes, she spends half the year above, half the year down in hell.
She's the epitome of spring, summer, is she not?
Yeah, and it's sort of her mom, when we get winter, that's when she's down there because her mom misses her, who is Demeter. Anyway, it is slightly important just because you do, like, if you don't know who Persephone is, like, obviously you will find out, but there is some backstory a little bit. They utilize basically a large pantheon of gods that are sort of, they're trying to help out Zagreus because they want him to get to the surface because they think that they're going to hang out with him there. Obviously Zagreus is like, he doesn't want to do, he doesn't, he's like, I just want to go see my mom. That's it. The problem though being with this game, and it's neat. So the game is obviously a game where you are meant to die multiple times. Like, it is a game where you will die, undoubtedly. Like,
there's no getting to the end without...
No, you have to die to advance the plot, basically. And regardless, so you will come across three different bosses and then your dad, obviously, Hades. Like, if you didn't assume that Hades would be the final boss in this, like, I don't know what you were thinking, but Hades is the final boss. The thing with this game is you have to beat him multiple times.
How many times did you have to beat him?
Do we want
to tell the people?
Well,
that?
Okay. To get the credits, basically, of this video game, you have to beat him technically 9 times. Because on the 10th time, he won't fight you, thankfully. I was like, oh, gonna get him. I'm gonna get him. And then he was just like, yeah, you can go. And I was like, all right.
Did that take a little bit out of the
It did a little bit because I was like, oh, I got a good build. The thing with this game also, and the reason why it's just so interesting, is because, once again, you will die multiple times. And once, even if you beat Hades, you will die once you get to the surface. You'll talk to your mom for a bit. You'll die because you can't exist on the surface because you are a denizen of the underworld. That's just how it goes. I'm not going to spoil, like, what happens at the ending, but I, like, there's stuff. The thing is that even after you beat the game, you can continue doing things because your dad is like, I want you to help me with security flaws, is basically what he, which is fine.
You got a job in your dad's company is what you're,
back again. but there are also things like, not only the gods, which you can give, everybody gets this, special nectar. That it's like friendship nectar. And the more you give everybody, the more they love you, and the more story you get, sort of thing. There are several characters like Achilles and Patroclus. I'm saying his name wrong. Patroclus? I don't know.
Patroclus, I think you're...
I know. Anyway, I'm saying it... I know I'm saying it
Patroclus?
Wrong. Patroclus? Maybe. Whatever. But there's story with them, and basically there's an amount, like, you can do stuff where they will get back together. There's Orpheus and Eurydice, who you can also get them back together, sort of thing. Orpheus is your court musician. Like, there's a bunch of stuff that still I have not completed that I would like to do because I think there's, like, cool benefit. And, like, Sisyphus is there. You can help out him as well. Sisyphus is a guy who is, like, condemned to roll a boulder up a hill. And it doesn't go well for him, basically. You know those Greek myths. If humans do something that the gods don't like, they're in trouble for probably forever. But yeah, so all of the gods give you different boons, and they range from, like, I don't know. There's different, like, you obviously Zeus gives you lightning.
Right.
Athena gives you shields, Artemis gives you arrow power, but they all sort of do different things depending on what weapon you have and what slot you put it in. Basically, you have a regular attack, a special attack, and you have this thing called a cast, which is like a fun red little diamond that shoots out and it can hurt people, or it can be had an added attribute like Demeter, who is the goddess of ice and stuff. She's also your grandma. She will turn these casts into like little laser crystals and they will freeze people and they're great. Ares inflicts doom on stuff. So basically you hit things and then later it'll hurt them again. I love doom. It's great. I also love Aphrodite's. Aphrodite's probably my favorite. She inflicts weak on stuff, which just makes them weaker.
That's pretty self-explanatory. Yeah. Yeah.
And I would say it's fun to, because you get about four, like different character, different gods, boons, about four. Usually, like max, I think four is the amount I've ever found. Like, an amount only shows up, which is why each run is different, right?
Right.
Because you might find a different one, like Poseidon might show up. And unfortunately, I think Poseidon is one of the most, I don't really enjoy his perks. He's water stuff. It moves people back. I often take, he just gives you a bunch of stuff. Like you can get a bunch of jewels and money and food.
Take
and
these seashells.
Like, I'm basically like, yeah, thanks. I'll take that. I don't need you. I don't want your powers. I'm going to wait. Aphrodite might be here later. But yeah, this game has a lot. It even has, like you can customize your little hub world, which is very funny. Like, well, it's cute, because obviously you're going to spend a lot of time there, because you're going to die, and each time you die, you come back through this area. So you can customize it, you can get toys for your dog, like, yes, you have Cerberus is there, yes, you can pet the dog. There's a little Gorgon, who is, like, the maid of the house, named Dusa, and she's very cute. She's, like, a little floating Gorgon head. Gorgons are, like, ladies with snake hair, basically. That's probably a good description of a Gorgon, right?
Yeah.
About apt.
If you're thinking Medusa, the snake-haired lady, then
yes,
that's pretty
but
much over.
Yeah, and it's just her head floating. And yeah, once again, all of the characters are fairly interesting. Like, there's not characters that I don't really enjoy. And if I don't really enjoy them, I don't talk to them a lot, which isn't the worst. Like, Hypnos is maybe the only one that I kind of dislike, but that's only because he brings up who kills me every time.
He's kind of mean.
Well, and I'm just like, that's obviously that's how his character is, but I know who killed me, okay?
You like, were there for
I
it.
I was there. I saw who killed me. Thanks for rubbing it in. But yeah.
Tell me about the voice acting in this.
Oh, it's fantastic. I think it's also a matter of, like, it's not known people sort of thing. Like, it's not well-known voice actors, but it's all voice acted. The coolest part, I think, is that even after, like, 10 runs, and obviously I've died more than 10 times, I've done about around 40-something escape attempts. So, and I beat the game, or I beat my dad technically 11 times. 10, technically. Like, I actually fought him. But yeah, this game has an incredible amount of replayability. There's like a lot of just accessorizing, just like what you can do. There's a bunch of different weapons, different challenges. Like, I haven't even talked about the fact, like, once you beat the game the first time, you can make it harder, because of course you can.
Right.
But you can do, like, there's about 15 different ways to make it harder, and then different levels of those 15. Like, you can bump it up. I think there's actually, you can do, like, 60 heat, which is, like, extremely hard.
That's, you know, yeah. Yeah.
No, like, yeah. Yeah, not interested, but it's just, like, you can make it harder if it is a game where you're like, oh, it's too easy. But, yeah, this was a game that was made without crunch as well, which is really cool. They forced them to have forced time off. To make sure, yeah, I don't, and this is
love
a game,
to hear it.
Yeah, and Hades, for those of you who don't know, was nominated for Game of the Year, like, amongst The Last of Us Part 2 and Ghost of Tsushima, Doom Eternal. So, like, you know, if that will at least entice you based on, like, you know, ooh, you know, but it is a legitimately very good game.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right, and the song we are picking from Hades today?
So it's Eurydice's solo of Good Riddance. And here's the thing, because you'll hear this song when you play it, that's why I popped it in. But yeah.
All right, everybody, that's everything we got for you for this week, and keep changing.
Bye. Farewell to